As thus described, Twam, you, Sakala, of all, Atmanam, souls, Api, indeed, Swatmanam, the very soul, Atma Atmatya, as the super soul, Vichakshate, they see, Guru, from the spiritual master, Arka, who is like the sun, Lobda, received, Upanishad, of confidential knowledge, Suchakshusha, by the perfect eye, Yay, who, Te, they, Taranti, cross over, Eva, easily, Vava, of material existence, Anrita, which is not real, Ambudhim, the ocean. Translation: those who receive the clear vision of knowledge from the sun-like spiritual master can see you in this way as the very soul of all souls, the super soul of everyone, one's own self. Thus, understanding your original personality, they are able to cross over the ocean of illusory material existence. Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter, text 9. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktva diham punar janma naiti mame trisorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So again. Evam vinam tam sakalatmanam api svatmanam atmatmataya vichakshate gurvarka lapto panishatsu chakshusha Yete tarantiva bhavan ritam buddhim. So, Omagana Timanandasha, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, here, of course, transcendental knowledge is referred to in Srila Prabhupada's purport, but the method of receiving transcendental knowledge is Tadvini Pranipatena Hari Prashnena Sevya. As mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that Tadvini, if one wants to know, then there is a process of inquiring submissively and service. Both things have to be there. One has to approach the spiritual master. Now, there are many different manifestations of what we call spiritual master. Generally, we think, when we talk about spiritual master, we talk about Diksha Guru. But there's many other manifestations of Guru, and we're going to talk about a few of them today. One, of course, is the Vartma Pradarshika Guru. The Vartma Pradarshika Guru is the Guru who first shows you the path. And actually, this guru doesn't have to be a liberated soul. Like you have in the case of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was very upset because he could not sit on the lap of his father, Uttanapada. And because of that, he approached his mother. What should I do? His mother's name was Suniti. And his stepmother's name was Suruchi. Suruchi means good taste, you know, someone who looks really nice. a good ruchi. Anyway, Uttanapada was attached to his second wife. So then Dhruva Maharaj's mother said, I heard you have to approach Lord Narayan, and I heard that he's in the forest. So that's, she showed him the path. And then his initiating spiritual master, of course, was Narada Muni. And in the case of Bilva Mangal Thakur, this great devotee who Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated very much the writings of, Bilva Mangal Thakur's Bhartma Pradashika Guru was a prostitute. Some of you may know that story. That Bilva Mangal Thakur was very attached to her. Actually, in Vedic society, there were prostitutes. I was reading the Bhagavatam recently, how in the Dwarka, when Krishna went there, in Krishna's own abode, there were prostitutes. You know, you're thinking, oh my God, regular principles. But, you know, there's certain people have an occupation, there's different occupations, and it keeps men who would actually pollute other people's wives from doing that. So, anyway, I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying what's there in the Bhagavatam. So, Bilva Mangal Thakur was very attached, and one day it was a cyclone in Fiji. Didn't happen in Fiji, it happened in India. So anyway, and she was living in the other side of the river. And so Bilva Mangal Thakur had to cross the river, and he grabbed onto a log, what he thought was a log, but it was actually a dead body. And he crossed the river, he climbed the wall to her house, and he grabbed onto what he thought was a rope, it was a snake, and he arrived with all of his clothes torn at her door, and he knocked on her door, and she said, Bilva Mangal, if you were so enthusiastic to worship Krishna, you'd be a pure devotee, something like that. And Bilva Mangal Thakur, he did that. He just said, okay, goodbye. And he went off to Vrindavan. I mean, there's many more stories about Bilva Mangal Thakur. Also a story about Tulsi Das. I don't know if any of you know this story. The author of the Ramayana, Ramacharita Manasas. He also had a similar encounter with his wife, who was very attached to him, and she said, if you were attached to Krishna, as you were attached to me, then, or Ram, then you'd be a great devotee, and then he took that as an impetus in his spirit. So that's called Vartma Pradarshika Guru. Or the devotee who goes on Sankirtan and gives you your first book, or gets you to chant Hare Krishna, that's your Vartma Pradarshika Guru. Got it. So then after that, then you have like Shiksha Gurus. Shiksha Gurus means those who guide you in Krishna consciousness, and Shiksha Gurus may be liberated or strict devotees or not strict devotees, depending on the relationship. And then you have a Diksha Guru. The Diksha Guru is, of course, the one who gives you initiation, and you can only have one Diksha Guru. You can have many Shiksha Gurus, as you learn in the disciple course. And one guru I left out, and then I'm going to go on to other aspects of this discussion, is the Chaitya Guru. That's the guru in the heart. Krishna's in the heart. And Krishna's giving one Matak Smritir Jnanam Apovanam Cha, as described in 15:15 in the Bhagavad Gita. He's giving people intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So you got the guru in the heart. So it's considered the external spiritual master is representative of the guru in the heart. And also, you can take indirectly here, like sun-like spiritual master, that also can refer to Surya Narayan, the sun god. And the sun god, interestingly enough, is the guru of Hanuman. You know the story? Hanuman took initiation from him, and the sun god was moving. So Hanuman had to go backwards as he was taking instruction, fly backwards as he was taking instruction from the sun god. And the sun god asked for a very interesting dakshin at the end. You know what the dakshin was? What? Yeah, look after Sugriv. So that's why Hanuman became a fast friend of Sugriva, because of that dakshin. Anyway, his guru dakshin. So another guru that I wanted to mention, which is very interesting, this is discussed in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it has a lot to do with the Chaitya guru, or Krishna in the heart. It's the natural guru of this material world, gurus of this material world. What we perceive in this material world can teach us spiritual knowledge to a certain extent. I mean, just like, for example, the material world which we described the other day is a perverted reflection or upside down reflection of the spiritual realm. Krishna the Gita talks about that. And he says that you have to cut down this tree to get out of this material world. He gives a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha vyapna nicha vanivirta kama dvandvarvi muktar sukaduka samgyar gachanchi muda padamavyam tat. Does anyone know that verse? That's an important verse. Nirmana, one has to be free from false prestige. Just like the other day we were talking about the divisions of illusion, one of them was pride. And Nirmana moha, free from illusion. Jitta sanga dosha, get rid of bad association. As Lord Chaitanya said, satsanga chage vaishnava char, jitta sanga dosha, avyatma nicha, become established in eternal spiritual activities. Vini viritta kama, give up good old lust, Mr. Lust. Vini viritta kama, dvandvara vimuktar, you have to become free from duality. So, like sukha dukkha samgar, known as sukha dukkha, happiness and distress. Gachancha muda, as someone who comes to that position, he's not bewildered anymore. Padamaviyam tat, he can reach Krishna in the spiritual world. So anyway, let's talk about how the material world can be a guru for all of us. And I'm going to make reference to a story from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a story about an avaduta Brahmin. Once upon a time, there was a king. His name was Yadu. And he came across this Brahmin just lying in the road. And this Brahmin, he was lying like a python. A python, of course, you don't have pythons here. Pythons are big snakes, really big. One day I was at New Govardhan in Australia, one of our farm communities, and there was this giant python right next to the temple. I thought, they swallow children whole. And pigs, they eat pigs. So he was lying there like a big python. But he was completely effulgent. So the king asked this avaduta Brahmin, how did you get your spiritual effulgence, basically? How do you become Krishna conscious? And the Brahmin, or the avaduta, began to recite something about his different gurus. He said he had 24 gurus. Let's see if we can get through some of them in the class, which is a really interesting story. He said the earth, mountain, tree, air, sky, water, fire, moon, sun. I'll go through some of them. So don't worry, I'm just giving you a list. A pigeon, a python, the sea, the moth, honeybees, elephants, pingala, the prostitute, kurari bird, a child, a young girl, arrow maker, serpent, spider, and a wasp. These are all his gurus. He didn't put them on the altar. Don't worry. But there's natural things we can learn. The point is there's things we can learn just by observing the material energy. Just like Dukkhalyama Shashvatam. I mean, I was listening to a class that Prabhupada was giving the other day, and someone accused Krishna consciousness of being sectarian. And Prabhupada said, no. Is it sectarian to say, Deino smin yata dehe, komaram javadam jada? Is that a sectarian statement? That you're changing bodies? When you had a little baby's body? That's sectarian. Nobody else believes in it except for the Hare Krishnas? We're the only ones who believe that you get old? That's not sectarian. I mean, Krishna consciousness is not sectarian. So that's the observations, things you can learn. Hey, I'm going to get old, or I'm going to die. Although it's described in the Mahabharata, King Yudhisthira is asked by Yamaraj, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? And Yudhisthira Maharaj answers, Ahani Ahani Bhutani Gachanti Ayamalaya. He says, the most wonderful thing is that everybody is going to Yamaraj, not me. Just like I'm thinking like that too, you know, I see. So, you know, I talk to my disciples and I talk about how this person died and that person died, their parents died. And I said, well, not me, you know, I'm just going to stick around and be compassionate to everybody. But it's not going to happen to me. Yes, guaranteed it's going to happen to you, me, everybody in this room, everybody, everywhere. So anyway, so let's go through these different spiritual masters, some of the spiritual masters here. And I found this story is one of my favorite stories in the Bhagavatam. Let's start with the earth. The earth is the spiritual master because the earth is like dug up by people and drilled by people, right? You make wells in the earth, you dig it up, you make these buildings in the earth, and the earth just tolerates. When did you ever see the earth comply? Of course, there's earthquakes, but that's another issue. And it's global warming and everything like that. So you can learn from the earth. He says he looks at a tree, and what does he learn from a tree? The tree is dedicated, in one sense, to the service for others. Like you have different trees that produce fruit here. You have different trees that give shade. You have the pine trees that make the lumber for construction. So the tree is dedicated to the service for others. Like Lord Chaitanya, well, he also mentions, you know, one should be as tolerant as a tree, isn't it? Charnadapi suniche nasa tarari vasuhishnana mandina mandina kirtaniya sadahari. So here's a few more. Then he says, water I learned from, because water is like a saintly person. A saintly person is pure, gentle, and a beautiful vibration comes from his mouth. You know, Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitete Kori Akya. And one is purified just by seeing a saintly person, like I experienced with Prabhupada. Just by seeing Prabhupada or hearing Prabhupada, I immediately wanted to join the Hare Krishna movement and shave my head. And gave up the things I was most attached to. I mean, it's amazing. Like my hair. So, fire, he learned from fire. What did he learn from fire? That even if a saintly person comes in contact with something contaminated, he burns up that contamination just by his presence. And also he learned from fire that when you approach a saintly person, you have to be very careful. Like Prabhupada said, approaching guru or saintly person is like approaching the sun. You can get burnt. In certain countries, they can get, like in Australia, people get skin cancer. It's very prominent. Here, not so much. And sometimes fire is concealed. That's another thing he learned from fire. Sometimes it's concealed, like in a saintly person, you may not see that. And another thing about fire, the fire can burn to ashes. Any object, practically speaking. So the saintly person, by his association, can burn the sinful activities of the living entity to ashes. So then he looked at the sun. I'm skipping over a few of these right now. So these are just natural gurus that we have in this world. He looked at the sun and he saw that the sun is like a saintly person because the sun evaporates water and then returns it. Like evaporates the water and then returns it as a cloud in the form of the clouds and the rain. And also the sun is never divided, although he had so many reflections. So the soul is never apart from the spiritual realm, and the super soul is never in the material realm. Although, just like the reflection of the sun or the moon on the water, It appears like the sun or the moon are here. It appears like the soul is here in this material world. So, next we'll get to, this is one of my most ecstatic stories in the Bhagavad Gita. We'll get to the story of the pigeon. It's called Kapota. Is that how you call pigeon in Hindi here? Yeah, Kapota. So, there were two pigeons. This is a sannyas story. So, you ladies don't listen to it. So, there were two pigeons, Kapota, Kapoti or something like that. Kapotja. Kapotja. Kapota. In Sanskrit, it's the pocha. Sanskrit's the pocha. They were living in a tree. They had a nice nest, and they loved each other. Like that, whatever pigeons do. And once upon a time, they had little pigeon babies. Pigeonlets, whatever you call them. babies. So they had eggs, and they were both very, very happy to have these little pigeon babies. And they think this is very, very nice. So one day they went to get food. Not prasadam, but worms. Or whatever pigeons eat. They went to get food, and the hunter captured the little baby pigeons. Oh my God. And so the mother comes back and she sees all of her little pigeonlets in the net of the hunter. So she laments and she tries to save them. And guess what happens? She gets captured. Then the father comes back and he sees his wife or girlfriend or whatever pigeons have. They're not married. So he sees his wife or girlfriend in the net along with his children. And he goes, oh my God, my life is over. And he faints and he falls into the net. So, so the lesson is you can't save anyone in this material world. So then there's the lesson of the python. Now, I said the Avadhuta Brahman acts like a python, but he also saw a python. And he saw the python just lies there. Python usually doesn't go chasing after anyone. It can strangle someone. If someone comes, what the python does, it wraps itself around the person and he strangles you to death. And then he eats you. I've seen them. I mean, they're really big. They're not like, sometimes they're like, I think they can get to be about up to 10 meters long. They're not small. So the python just lies there, and whatever comes, comes. And whatever doesn't come, doesn't come. So he learned from the python that happiness and distress are going to come anyway, no matter what you do. In fact, that's the law of karma. That a certain amount of happiness you're supposed to have, no matter how hard you work, and a certain amount of distress you're supposed to have. Of course, for a devotee, it's something different. For a devotee, if we chant the holy names, then the karma is finished, and then Krishna personally gives us distress. Or happiness. Depending on what's good for us. So, he learned from the python that just, if happiness is supposed to come, it'll come. And if distress is supposed to come, you just have to see Krishna behind. Just be patient and don't over-endeavor. And then he learned from the honeybee. A honeybee is called madhu. So you have the same word, right? Madhumakhi. Madhumakhi is a fly. Yeah, madhumakhi means fly. Now, honeybee is not a fly. A honeybee is a bee that collects pollen from the different trees. But anyway, and there's the same word for fly, right?
Yes.
No, not
honey. Honey.
What?
Fly is only mucky.
Fly is only mucky. Oh, sorry. Then honeybee is madhumakhi. That means a sweet fly. So you got a fly and a sweet fly. Not very nice. So a honey bee is a bee that collects pollen from the different flowers. So we learned from the honey bee that you should be like doing Madhukari. Madhukari is a system for sannyasis who go door to door and they just like collect a little bit from each person. They don't get like a whole meal from anybody. They get one roti from each house. And eventually they go to 10 houses, they get 10 rotis. So that way they get a whole meal. So also he learned from the honeybee that once you take the essence of the scriptures, because as described that Tarko Pratishta Shutinan Vivina, that one can study the scriptures. This is actually a statement from the Mahabharata also. One can study the scriptures, no logic and reasoning, and the scriptures are multi-branched. In other words, as Krishna says in the Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda needs Trigunya Bhavarjana, that the Vedas are mainly dealing with the three modes of material nature. But the devotee knows the essence. As Krishna also says in the Gita, by all the Vedas I am to be known. Isn't it? 15:15 of the Gita. So, then, so he learned that from the honeybee. And he also learned that from the honeybee, one should not imitate the honeybee because the honeybee over collects honey. And guess what happens? The man takes it all away. So collecting too much, you know, ajahara prayasascha pajalpa nimagraha. Then he learned from the elephant. Because he saw how an elephant was captured. Does anyone know how an elephant is captured? They put, it's very interesting. Sorry, ladies. So it's also, you know, applies for the men, you know, men and women. So they make a big hole in the ground. And they put a beautiful female elephant on the other side of the hole. And she goes, wiggles around. And the male elephant is saying, wow. You know. And he runs and bloop, he's in the hole. That's how they get elephants for the zoo. So he learned from the elephant, you have to conquer this sex desire. And then he also learned from, we talked about that, madhumakkhis, but actually there's also the honey thief, the people who steal the honey. So he learned from the honey thief something very interesting. He said, it's funny. He said he learned that the brahmachari and the sannyasi, they go to everyone's house, they don't have to work, and then they get the honey. I think, do you understand what I mean? Like I go to everyone's house, they cook for me and everything like that, and they receive me very nicely. I don't have to work a job or do anything. And so that's what you can learn from a sannyasi or a honey thief. So he compared the brahmacharis and sannyasis to honey thieves. Then he learned from a fish. What did he learn from a fish? That, how is a fish caught? What? Yeah, but why? Because of his tongue. And what do we chant it? We should chant every day. The tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable of all the senses. Dharma deji vayati lobamori sudurmati. You know that? We used to chant that every day before prasadam. That of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. Right? You, Lord Krishna, have sent us this prasadam, Bhagavat prasadam, to help us control the tongue. So now let us take this prasadam in love and cry out for Radha and Krishna. So he learned that from the fish. Control the tongue and you will be liberated. Prabhupada said, you control the tongue, you control the other senses. Actually, in the Nectar of Instruction, it says, Vacho Vegam, Manasakrita Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Uduru Pashta Vegam. So when you don't have the tongue controlled and you eat too much, then the rest of the senses come under the belly, the genitals, come out of control. So then he learned from the prostitute. This prostitute's name was Pingala. And Pingala was standing in her doorway, and she had a lot of debts. You know, she had to owe money to people. And so she was trying to get customers. And the whole night, nobody stopped. And she was so upset, but then she realized the happiness of detachment from this world. Not having any unrealistic expectations of this world. And she actually sang a whole song at the end of the night when she didn't have any customers. This song is interesting. The song goes, I gave up the service of Krishna to serve this material body, this foul material body of nine gates. This enjoyment is temporary. I am fortunate because material desires cause the greatest unhappiness. Wow. And then he learned, some of these are very, they're all very interesting. And then he learned from a child, don't worry about honor or dishonor, because these things are very temporary. Whether someone honors you or dishonors you, it is not important. And he said, the only two types of people are free from anxiety in this world. A child or a childish fool, and also one who has taken shelter of Krishna. So, and then he learned from this young girl, maybe this will be the last one we tell. There's actually a lot more. And this young girl was interested in finding a husband. And so a bunch of men, eligible men, came to the house. And she wanted to cook for them. And so she was actually cooking in the kitchen, and she had all these bangles on her arms. And the bangles were jangling. And she was thinking, I don't want them to hear that I'm cooking, because if they think I don't have a servant, they won't like me. They'll think I just come from a poor family. So what did she do? She took the bangles off her arms, just left one on each arm. And what did he learn from that? He learned that when you put two people together, what do? And one person goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Two people go, blah, 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 blah. So he learned for a spiritualist, sometimes it's very good to be alone. So anyway, so these are some of the lessons. I don't have time to go through all of them. You could read, I invite you to read the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very interesting story of an Avadutta Brahman and detachment by observations of different aspects of this material creation. And of course you have to have the super souls, Chaitya Guru, giving you intelligence on how to understand these things. So, as this verse says, by the mercy of all these different gurus, one can understand our original self and understand Krishna, the super self. And then, as Prabhupada quotes from this verse in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9, then once you understand janma karma chame divyam, Krishna's appearance and activities in this material world, then chaktva deham puna janma naiti mam eti chojana. You don't have to take birth again in the material world. So any questions or comments? No? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, Sumuk? You're reading Bhagavad Gita in the morning? Bhagavatam. Louder. Yeah.
So he, all his queen, everybody came.
Yes.
And also another brother, not from Nandi.
Yeah.
And Baba also came with all the brother Vasis.
Yes.
They were staying in some place where Parshuram made it there. And they stayed there for some time.
Yes.
And then Nandi was Nanda to go back.
Yes.
So he's been delayed. I'll go tomorrow morning, tomorrow like that. So it took like 3 months.
Yeah.
He didn't go.
So.
He said he wanted to take Krishna back with him. So, but, and he then he come and ask Vasudeva, please let Krishna go back.
Ask yes. So.
Then he went to Krishna. Krishna, please come back. He said that a drop of perspiration of Krishna, I can give my many lives to Krishna.
Yeah. Right. So what's the question?
So much love.
Actually, the real reason Krishna didn't go back, he explains in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, was that if he ever went back, then the gopis would be in more anxiety that he was going to leave again. Because really, the only reason he loves his queens in Dwarka is because they remind him of his girlfriends in Vrindavan. He said that to Satyabhama. He said, the only reason I married you, actually he said, I was planning to remain brahmachari. But because I got that letter from Rukmini, I decided to get married. And he said, actually, my only love is for the residents of Vrindavan. So whatever Krishna does, he does to please the residents. Of course, obviously he does love his queens in Dwarka because they're expansions of the gopis in Vrindavan. And the Lakshmis are expansions of the queens in Dwarka. And as is Sita Devi too. Question. Ask question. So, do you see Krishna now when you close your eyes? What do you see? Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santak sadaiva vidyeshu vilokiyanti yam shaima shundara chincha guna swarupam govindam haripurusham tamaham majame. So if you actually love Krishna, when your eyes are tinged with the salve of love for Krishna, then you will see Krishna everywhere. Just like a young boy and a young girl are in love. They actually see each other everywhere. Everything reminds them. Everything reminds them. I mean, if they see anything, they just think, oh, whatever. Oh, Devi. Oh, Pati. Of course, it doesn't last for a long time. But the love for Krishna is like that. It never goes away. It's like a constant honeymoon. You know honeymoon? You know what that is. How do you know? Anyway. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.